The scripture reading this morning as we prepare for the celebration of the Lord's Supper is taken from the book of Hebrews, the first chapter 12, the first two verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. These are familiar words. We do know this verse, these two verses very well, I am sure. Listen to the word of the Lord. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So far the reading of the Word of God. That's a wonderful passage. Before we open this truth, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father, as we look at running the Christian race, and at the glorious Savior, our Savior, who is the author and perfecter and finisher of our faith, we pray that we may truly rejoice in the finished work of Christ and run with patience and perseverance the race marked out for us. Lead us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, one of the most famous persons or most unusual runners in the New York Marathon, which was held not so long ago, was a man whose name was Edison Peña. Edison Peña. Edison Peña ran that race along with 43,000 other people. He was number 7172. That was his number in that race. Edison Peña was from the country of Chile. Edison Peña was one of the miners that was trapped in that copper gold mine in Chile for 69 days. He was trapped down there for 69 days. And many of you perhaps saw the rescue on television. It was broadcast worldwide as these miners, 33 of them, were taken up one by one in that capsule from that deep mine. For 69 days they were down there. And Edison Peña, in order to keep his sanity, ran every day. There was a 1,000-yard path underneath the ground there. 1,000-yard. And every day, morning and afternoon, he ran over that 1,000-yard track, about 5 miles a day. In darkness, pitch darkness, all he had was the light on his hat. And he had huge electrician boots, steel-toed, steel-tipped electrician boots that he cut down to ankle-high shoes. And he ran. Because he wanted to represent them in a marathon where he might be able to spread a message about what he hopes will be the legacies of their ordeal. Safe workplaces, closer families, and more trust in God. That was Edison Peña. He finished the New York Marathon 26 miles. He ran a race. He practiced in the pitch darkness. And he ran in the light. Now that's us too. We've got to run that race. We've got to run the race of life. The Bible calls us to run this race. Therefore, says this text, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Who marked it? It's the Lord Jesus that has marked out that race for us. He doesn't just say, run the race wherever you want to go. No, there's a race marked out for us. That's one reason we read the law every Lord's Day. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Thy word, O Lord, will safely lead if in its wisdom they confide. You know that song. It's based on Psalm 119. And that Psalm 119, verse 105 says, Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That same psalm says in verse 11, Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. So the Lord marks out that pathway for us to run, for us to live. The race is a race of life. Our every day we are in this race. You are and I am, the young and the old. We are all in this race. Now there's a human inspiration to this race. The apostle to the Hebrews says, therefore, being surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race set out for us. Who are the cloud of witnesses? Who are the cloud of witnesses? Well, the previous chapter 11 of Hebrews is the great chapter on faith, and it is the chapter which is the hall of fame. The hall of fame of faith. And the hall of fame of baseball, you've probably, some of you have seen it in Cooperstown, New York, but the hall of fame of faith, the hall of fame of the church, is Hebrews 11. It begins with that beautiful definition of faith. Now, faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the assurance of things not seen. And by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And though he died, yet his blood speaks to us. And it goes from Abel to Noah to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Joseph, to Moses. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That was Moses. By faith, Israel went through the Red Sea. By faith, Rahab hid the spies. And then the author to the Hebrews says, time will not permit me to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fire of flames. You know who he's referring to there? Daniel and the three friends of Daniel. These all were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Then he comes to the 12th chapter. Therefore, being surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. Now, the idea of the witnesses is not that those who have gone on before are now watching us like from a grandstand and cheering us on. Now, that's not true. Those who have died in the Lord are, I don't think they really know what's going on earth. We are not told that they know anything about it. We are not given that information by the Bible, and to speculate is definitely not the thing to do. We must not speculate that somehow those who have died before can cheer us on. No. That's not what this means. Those who died in the Lord have their focus on Jesus Christ and are magnifying and glorifying the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in heaven. They are not looking at us on earth. That's not what this text means, that they are witnesses cheering us on. No. But what does it mean? It means that their example, their faith, their life, their suffering, their death, Abraham's obedience, Abraham's dedication, Moses' commitment, and on and on and on, all of those truths are inspiration for us. They are a great example for us. Being surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, their life is a witness to us. Not only those in the Scripture, but those are the ones that are mentioned. And that's why the Lord gives detailed descriptions of their lives and of their great conquests and also of their terrible failures, all to teach us and to point us to Jesus Christ, who is the perfect Son of God, whose life is a perfect example to us. But you see, not only are those who have gone in the history of Israel examples to us, also people who have died that you know. Your father, your mother, your grandparents, they're examples too. And you are an example to your children. You remember the song that Steve Green sang? Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. We all have a responsibility. In the book of Revelation, it says, blessed are those who die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they rest from their labors, but their works do follow them. You and I are to lead a godly life. Children are called in the fifth commandment to honor their father and their mother. And father and mother must be honorable and must lead a godly life and give a good example of the love to the Lord and Christian piety and Christian service and Christian obedience to the Lord. All of this is part of the witness around us, surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, includes you and me, that we are to be found faithful as we seek to witness to our children by our life. But then there's a requirement. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, now comes the requirement. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There's a negative requirement and a positive requirement. The negative is to throw off everything that would impede us. Now, Edison Pena had steel-toed electrician boots. Now, he had to cut them down to ankle height so that he could run. You can't run if you've got heavy boots. You can't run with barn boots on. You can't run. You've got to get rid of it. Now, what the apostle says here, in your race, there are things you've got to get rid of. You've got to get rid of sin, the sin that easily entangles us, the sin that hinders us. What is that? What is sin? Well, you just look at the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not this. All these things are the things that hinder us. And then what Jesus says, enlarging on the commandments, you heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say unto you, whoever looks at a woman lustfully has committed adultery already. That is a great hindrance in our running the Christian race. Envy, hatred, anger, drunkenness, all these things just bog down a person in their Christian life. We are to fight the good fight of faith. We are to lay hold upon eternal life. We are to be strong in the Lord and the mighty power of His name. And so, you see, we've got to get rid of anything that hinders us. And so that's the negative requirement. Get rid of that. And the verb that's used to get rid of is once for all. Don't play with it. Get rid of it. Boy, I remember in one of my former churches, there was a man who was guilty of pornography. So the elder and I went to his house. And spoke to him and his wife. And the elder and I talked to him. He admitted it. His wife cried. He cried. And then the elder said, I'm coming over to your house tomorrow. And I am with my pickup. And I am going to come with garbage bags and I'm going to pick up all the pornography that you have in your house. So the next day the elder came over with his pickup. And they picked out, the guy showed him where all the pornography was. Here it was hidden in the garage behind this Joyce, under this place, in that place, in that place. The elder had a pickup and he filled, I think, like 7 or 8 big garbage bags full of this trash and brought it and burned it. That's what this is talking about. Get rid of anything and everything that hinders your Christian walk. Get rid of it. Don't toy with it. We are to be pure of heart. And not only the sins of the flesh, but pride, the love of money, the love of material things. All these things hinder our Christian life, and we are to get rid of it. That's the negative requirement. The positive requirement is to run with perseverance and purpose the race marked out for us. Now, the Lord Jesus marked that out for us. The Word of God gives us the direction we are to go. It gives us the exact way to run. We're not left in doubt. My son, my daughter, give me your heart, says the Lord. Walk in my ways. Cleanse your heart from sin by the blood of Jesus. And then run the race that's marked out for you. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. The Lord laid out the good works for us to live. He laid it out. Psalm 119 has 176 verses, and every verse except one, but all 175 verses deals with the Word of God, the Scriptures, the statutes, the ordinances, the precepts, the commandments. Every one of those verses, 175, has something about those the commands of the Lord. It lays it all out clearly for us. Psalm 19, Thy word, O Lord, is pure, enlightening the eyes. It is clean, enduring forever. That word is absolutely sure, and it lays out before us the path we are to follow. And we as parents, we have to train our children. We have to become part of that whole cloud of witnesses that will inspire our children and our grandchildren. And so then we have, thirdly, the perfect leader. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, fixing one's eyes on Jesus is a word that means turn away from all others and focus on Him. That's why it's so important to know the life of Christ, to know how He dealt with this issue, that issue, what He taught, how He lived, how He obeyed His parents, how He loved the stranger, how He protected the weary and the poor, how He lived. We are to live like Him, looking unto Jesus. How is He qualified? Do you know how He's qualified? Listen, He is the author of our faith, and He is the perfecter and finisher of our faith. All these men and women who were described in Hebrews 11, that faith that they had, and the faith that you have, and the faith that your grandparents and parents and ancestors have, that faith was not created in us by ourselves. Remember how Paul says this in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God afore prepared we should walk in them, like I mentioned a minute ago. But that faith comes from God. He creates it in us. And what we have to pray fervently all the time for our children, Lord, increase their faith. Give them that faith. And increase our faith. The Lord is the creator of faith. He is the author of our faith. It comes from Him. That's why in the Bible it says in let's say Isaiah 55, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, that he may find mercy to help in time of need. It is the Lord who gives us faith. He is the author of it. He's the author of it. We must seek Him always. And how does He give faith? He gives faith through His Word. His Word is that which is like a seed, which is planted in our hearts, and that seed begins to grow, and that faith begins to grow. It's from the Lord. He's the author of faith. He gives it to us. But we must be open to it. We must never resist Him. We must never quench the Spirit or resist the Spirit. It is the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ that creates that faith in us. Not only is He the author of faith, He's also the finisher of it. You know what a beautiful verse is about that? It's Philippians 1:6. It's a wonderful verse. Being assured of this, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion unto the day of Jesus Christ. That is a great, great comfort. Because once the Lord begins the work of grace in your life, He will never abandon it. He will never, never, never let you go. That is what that great doctrine of the perseverance of the saints is all about. Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I call them my name. And my sheep hear my voice and follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Romans 8, you remember those beautiful verses. Now we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. For whom He did predestinate. That's where it all starts. Whom He did predestinate, whom He elected before the creation of the world. Them He also, whom He predestinated, them He also chose. And those whom He chose, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. He's the one that does it all. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And what did He do? Listen what this text says. Who, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was in Him, for the joy of it, He endured the cross. Can you imagine joy and then being nailed to a cross? Where's the joy in that? That's horrible. But here it says, who for the joy that was before Him endured the cross. What was the joy? Wherein did Jesus find joy through that terrible experience? Do you know where the joy was? It was the joy of doing His Father's will. It was the joy of purchasing the salvation of those whom the Father had given Him. It was the joy of seeing His people come to Him. Jesus said, and I, when I am lifted up, will draw all men to Myself. There was a joy in doing it. For the joy that was before Him, He endured the cross. Jesus said, you know, no one takes My life from Me. I give it of Myself. I do this in obedience to My Father's will. And He did it with joy. With joy He suffered on the cross of Calvary. And as we take the Lord's Supper today, you take that bread and you take that cup, and that bread was broken, His body was broken for joy in redeeming you. Who for the joy that was before Him endured the cross, despising its shame, and He is sat down at the right hand of His heavenly Father. What a Savior. What a Savior. And now the author to the Hebrews is writing to these folks in Rome who were toying with the idea of abandoning the Christian faith and going back to Judaism because of all the persecution they were enduring. And the apostle says to them, don't give up. The righteous shall live by faith. And by faith we lay hold upon Jesus, who for the joy that was before Him endured the cross. Don't you give up. Fix your eyes on Him. Look full in His wonderful face. And so we come to the Lord's Supper this morning in sure trust and certain hope that this Savior is ours. He gave His life that we may have life and have it abundantly. Do you know this Savior? You're running a race. Are you running it with perseverance? Are you running it with determination? Are you running it with a total commitment to the Lord? This Lord's Supper is to help us in this and to strengthen our faith and to lead us on in this race of life. Lead on, O King Eternal. We follow not with fears, for gladness breaks like morning where'er Your face appears. Your cross is lifted o'er us. We journey in its light. Lead on, O King Eternal, lead on, O Lord of might. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, we thank Thee for this word. We thank You, Lord, for that cloud of witnesses. But we thank Thee above all for Jesus Christ, upon whom we must fix our eyes as we run with perseverance the race before us, looking unto Jesus, fixing our eyes on Him, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy before Him endured the cross. O Heavenly Father, we take and eat, remember and believe that the precious body of Christ was broken and His blood was shed for us. In Jesus' name, Amen.